Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Now we look at chapter 18. All right. Now, it seems that in chapter 18, yeah, God like came in person, in the form of a man, yeah, to tell Abraham this good news, the news of Sarah, who would be given a child. All right. Now, so from verse 1 to verse 8 talks about, three strangers were passing by, was standing near Abraham. Right? So you find that again, Abraham was very kind and, he was a very hospitable person. So he invited them to come in, wash their feet and prepare meals for them. And actually this... thank you. And this the story is also reiterated in the book of Hebrews, right? The people receive strangers and end up receiving, angels of God Himself. Okay. Now the immediate lesson is that obviously we must learn to be hospitable. We must learn to receive, strangers or guests. Right. Actually, this is part of the Christian virtues, right, to receive others. Okay, now I want you to look at verse 9, chapter 18, verse 9. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." Now, verse 10, and he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." So Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. But now Abraham and Sarah were all well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Yeah, like what I said before, just now. And so obviously Sarah laughed within herself. Okay, when she heard about the news, it's a bit too much for her to take in. It's a bit overwhelming. It's quite unbelievable. It was shocking to her. Yeah. Now, however, when you look at the description given in Romans and Hebrews, right, all these people receive the news with faith. They believe in what God said. Okay, even though they were shocked, maybe they were shocked to their core, however, they also would exercise faith, show that they had faith in the Word of God. Okay, now, so Sarah said, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" Like what I said before, it could be that they no longer share the same bed. Okay, now, the Lord replied, by saying that, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Meaning, nothing is impossible with God. This is the idea that we need to have, okay? Now, I think this is one of the key ideas in the Old Testament scriptures. I want you to read also Jeremiah. Chapter 32. Chapter 32. We read verse 17. This is part of Jeremiah's prayer. "Now, our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and outstretched arm, there's nothing too hard for you." Meaning, if God is the creator of the universe, is there anything too difficult for him? No. Right? No. So, meaning, as far as the power of God is concerned, there is no limitation. Yeah, in terms of His all-knowing, there is no limitation. Yeah, in terms of His power, there is no limitation. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, in terms of His what do you call it? His all. How do you put it? Everywhere. Okay, He is everywhere. You find that He is not limited in any sense. He's not limited by space and time. Okay? That's why the Bible says there's nothing too hard for you because he's the creator of heavens and earth. Now, I want to read the same chapter, verse 27. Now, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And like, you know, God, you know, repeated what Jeremiah said. Right? I think this is a very important concept when we study the one God. Okay, right? When we study God, you know, I'm not sure whether you have done the one true God. Yeah, you talk about God's attributes. Huh? You know, one of them is the three omnis. Yeah? The three omnis? You know that? Omnipresent, omniscience, omnivore? Omnipotent, right? The three omnis. That actually covers the entire one. The entire power of God. Right? Meaning there's no limitation. When you use omni, mean no limitation. Yeah? To God's power, to the power of God. Okay? Now, so we cannot say, like, God cannot do this. You can't say that. That's wrong, because that's against the very divine nature of God. That's why whatever interpretation concerning God that we have in mind must base on what the Bible says. You understand what I'm saying? We cannot say, oh, God does not know this, God does not know that. No, it's wrong. Because that is against his very nature. You understand what I'm saying now? That's why you find that in Genesis, it said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing. Okay? Now, the same idea is picked up by Jeremiah. You find that this knowledge is passed down from one generation to another. Right? You know, in the time of Jeremiah, the situation of the nation was very desperate. It's like beyond cure, put it this way. And yet the Lord said, is there anything too difficult for me? No. So we cannot limit, We cannot limit God's power. To limit God's power is like saying that God is lying. You understand what I'm saying? So this one is, you know, from the very beginning I've been saying to you, when you read the Bible, you have to be faithful to the word. This is what where faith comes in. Alright? Now, you imagine the God whom we believe in is the one who has created the universe, the perfect heavens and earth, out from nothing. Nothing. Practically void. Right? Now, that is the power of God. Can we say that he doesn't know this, he doesn't know that? No. Tell me, what are the things that he does not know? Is there anything too difficult for him? No. Okay? Very important concept you have to hold on to. Right? Our God is a supreme God, is an almighty God, and he knows all things. Yep. Even that's why the Bible says, even before the foundation of the world, or even before time was, in his mind, you know, the idea or the plan of salvation has already been long conceived. It's in the mind already of God. He knows everything, before and future. Even before a sin is done, he already knows. It's in the mind. What? I'll just show you an example. Turn to Deuteronomy. Okay, look at verse chapter 31.
Now look at verse 14 onwards. Yeah? Now then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua, present yourself in the tabernacle of meeting, that I may inaugurate him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now verse 16, "And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land. They will go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I made with them." Even before the sin were committed, God knew. Right? Can you see the power? Okay? That's why even before Isaac was born, God said, "Oh, yeah, you old lady, an old man, with what, triple barrenness, will give birth to a child." That's the power of God. Right? You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, since we are talking about this, now, why do we need to worship the one true God in the first place? Because He is incomparable. Yeah, He is the only supreme God in the entire universe. When you study, like, you know, the Old Testament scriptures, it tells us a lot about who God really is. Okay, I just want to give you some examples since we are talking about this Almighty God. Yeah. If I cannot finish, I cannot finish. We turn to Psalms chapter 89 here. Now, Psalms chapter 89. Now, we read verse 6. You know, this is like rhetorical questions. Yeah? We know the answers to the questions anyway. Now, for who in heavens, and there are two spheres mentioned. One is heaven. Obviously, we said the spirit, yeah? the spiritual world. The other one is the earth. Now, meaning, who can be compared to God? Anyone? No. We know the answers. This one is a question, rhetorical question. You know, no one is comparable to God. Okay? If God says it's incomparable, and you say, no, somewhere there, you know, out there, there's a guy who is like you. What? You are making God a liar. You understand what I'm saying? Is that clear? That's why, if we are not faithful to the word of God, to the word of the scriptures, chances are that we will be deceived easily, because our mind is not straight about God's word. Okay, so when we study the Bible, we must make sure our mind is clear. We must be faithfully what? Obedience to the word. Reverence must be shown to God. I'm not here to study the word to discover new things, you know, to impress people, to be different, you know, to outshine others. That is wrong. Right? You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, we look at Psalms 95. Sorry, no, 96.
Kind of joke to wake you up. Okay.
96. Now look at verse 3. "For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." Now, I always said to some of the students, third year, okay? I said, this God, yeah, gods here, gods, including Satan, because Satan is the gods of the world. Is that true? According to John. And God is. Now, you know when you read the Old Testament scriptures, yeah? You know, I like the song, which is always sung by the brethren in Africa. "The Most High God, He is the Most High God." "The Most High God,
He is the Most High God." I can't reach it. It's too high.
Okay, what does it mean, most high? What does it mean, Most High God? What does it mean? Is there anyone comparable to Him? No. Okay? To say that someone is like equal to this Most High God is a lie. By just looking at this,
you know what? It's beyond comparison, incomparable. Is that clear? Okay? The Bible also says he is the most upright in the book of Isaiah. Why the Bible use this most? Most, this one is what? This is the highest. No one can reach that. No one can exceed that. Is it not true? When the Bible says he is the most talented guy, what does it mean? Is there anyone comparable to him? No. And when the Bible says he's the most high God, no other God is like him. Very simple. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Is that clear? Right, read chapter 97. Chapter 96. Psalms. Verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Why? Why must he be feared above all gods? Meaning all the other gods, you should not be fearing them. You only need to fear the one true God, because he is the true God. He is the most high God. That's the idea. Right? Now, we turn back to Genesis. Okay. Now, we come back, yeah? To chapter 18, yeah? Chapter 18. So, you know, this is what the Lord said to Sarah. Is anything too hard for me, the Lord? Nothing. Okay? Now, you find that this statement or this question actually is all-encompassing. Yeah, not just about giving a child to Abraham and Sarah. Actually, it covers every what situation. Everything that we can think of in our mind. Nothing is too hard for God. Right? With God, there's nothing impossible. Is that not true? So he knows everything from past to future. That is the truth. Okay, please. When we study the Bible, this is something that we need to bear in mind. You understand what I'm saying now? Is that clear? Hello? Is that clear? Okay, now we come to chapter 18, yeah, the second part now, verse 16 onwards. Verse 16 onwards. Right? Now, it seems that now God is going to reveal everything to Abraham. Right? Now, look at verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Now, on this occasion, God is going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the question is, why did God want to reveal everything that he was about to do to Abraham? Now, how does the Bible describe the relationship between Abraham and God? What kind of relationship is that?
Friend.
Eh? Friend. Now, you are also my friend. What kind of friend are we talking about? Best friend. You don't give me anything, how can you be my best friend? I'm joking, okay? Now, why is Abraham called a friend of God? Why? Now, in the context of the scriptures, what does being a friend of God mean? What does it mean? Okay, now, do it quickly. We turn to John, yeah? John 15. Okay, John 15, yeah? We read verse 14, yeah? Now you are my friends if you do whatever I command you.
Okay, now, did Abraham do everything that God had commanded him to do? Yes, isn't it? In chapter 17 alone, two things he did. What is this? First is what? What did he do? I just mentioned in chapter 17. What did he do? Okay, first, he circumcised. What's the next one? Change their name. You follow, isn't it? You know, when they change their name, they become laughing stocks, you know, people. It's been crazy. But they did accordingly. Circumcised. That's why he became a friend of God. Because whatever God said, he listened. Now, what are the benefits of becoming a friend of God? Now, we turn back to John 15. John 15, yeah? Look at what Jesus said. John 15. Verse 15. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The most distinct benefit, if I can put it this way, is what? Is to receive revelation from God, right? Understanding come from God. Now, so class, here it tells us something very important. You know, today we want to know the scriptures, we want to be well-versed and well-acquainted with the word of God. Yeah, not only we need to study the Bible very hard, we need to, you know, search into different books or whatever. Most importantly, when we talk about understanding, spiritual understanding comes from what? Our obedience to God. Yeah, today you can study the Bible 100 times, you can use whatever books, reference book to study. If you don't fear God, you know nothing. Because your understanding is not from what? From a heart of fearing God. You get what I'm saying? You know nothing. Okay, this is very important. Some people, they search the Bible, try to impress others, you know, trying to tell them, no, I've discovered something new. But when you look at them, they don't fear God at all. They don't fear God. Right? They can easily fall into temptation and be deceived. Right? You want to know more about God? Fear Him. Do as He says. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? All right, now we come back. So obviously, in the process, Abraham said to God, please, 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 if there are 50 people who were righteous in the city, don't kill them, don't burn the city up, you know, and then reduce to how many? I can't remember, 10 or 20. 10, yeah? Okay? Now, obviously, none was righteous apart from Lot. Okay, now, we come to 19, yeah? I have to finish 19. Because tomorrow I have to finish up to chapter 25. Because Saturday is your test. Hallelujah. I'm a bit rushing. Yeah. Is that okay? Is that clear? Alright, now chapter 19. Basically, you find that chapter 19 is to illustrate why God has decided to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, let's look at the first part of the chapter, and here we can see the what? How can I put it? Pervert, a debased mind, a depravity. I'm just gonna spell it. So, scribble it away. You know the doctors do that as well. The name of the medicine. Okay, now, so when you look at chapter 19, this is the situation. Right? Now, what kind of sin does the Bible talk about? Obviously, God promised to save what? Lot, yeah? So, two angels went to the city. Now, if you look at chapter 19,
Right? Now, the people of the city came to know about it. All right. Now, I want you to read verse 5. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who come to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." To commit sexual immorality. In this case, is what? Homosexual. Okay? That's the sin, you know, committed by. What is sodomite? What are sodomite? People from Sodom. What do you call them? There's a special a connotation to it. Is it this one? Is it? Are you sure? Is it when you say the person is a sodomite, is he a male homosexual or female? I think he's male, isn't it? But I think the Bible distinguishes. I can't remember. Somewhere. Let me see. Somewhere. Maybe Job. I think either Job or... Yes, in the Bible. Sodomy. They call it Sodomy, isn't it? Yeah? S-O-D-O-M-I-T-E or S-O-D-O-M-Y? Right? What are we looking for? I think there is one more. Where am I? I'll find it, okay? Alright, now. So you find that the people have become so utterly corrupt, right? Not only they committed sexual immorality, they committed what? Homosexuality, that is a very grave sin in the eyes of God. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, when you look at the description given in Romans, yeah? You know, when people refuse to obey the word of God, then God what? Gives up on them. Yeah? And their mind turn debased. Yeah? So they do things what? Against God. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, they do things against God, and you know that this kind of sin is very serious in the eyes of God. Very, very serious. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now that's why God has decided to destroy all the people together in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, today the world is what? Is talking about human rights, you know, equality. You must accept, you know, gay people, stuff like that. Yeah? And everyone is the same. But we accept, we love everyone. But if you come to the church, you know, this kind of behavior is intolerable in the eyes of God. It's not acceptable. Right? Now, I remember... You know, in our church, there are people who were homosexual before, right? And we love them. When they come to the church, we tell them about the Bible, blah, 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 blah. They came out by the power of God. After baptism, they don't do it again. They take example in the church. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? That's very important. Right? Okay, now we come back. Chapter 19. So the angel has to stretch out their hands, yeah, to get rid of those, you know, who try to break into Lot's house, right? Now, if you look at verse 11, and they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became really trying to find the door. Right? They could not see anymore. So they were removed. Now, we come to verse 12. Yeah? Now, I want to ask you a question. When was the wife of Lot turned into a pillar of salt? When?
She was lying.
No. When was she? She was running or... When was she turned into a pillar of salt? While she was still running. Is that true? No, don't read the Bible first. Answer my question. No, it's not Bible reading time, okay? No. When was she turned into a pillar of salt? While she was running? This is a kiddie question, no. Yeah, I know. I said when. Kristen. When she was sleeping.
Escaping,
sorry. When? Okay, now I want to read verse 1 just now. Someone said 26. Now, before that, I want you to read verse 22. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Meaning, God would not rain or brimstone and fire. Yeah? You understand what I'm saying? Not until they reach the city. Now, initially, the angel said, go to the mountain. No. You know, I'm frightened to go there. So let me go to the city. That city is called what? Zoar. Zoar. Okay. Now, initially, they were told to go to the mountains, right? Now, so when they arrive, what happened? The wife, when God started raining, what? Brimstone and fire. And the wife turned back. Finished. Okay. Now what? You remember there's an account given in the Gospel of Luke. Remember Lot's wife. Remember that? Where is it? The Gospel of... By the way, what do you know? The Gospel of... Where is it? What is it stated that... Yes, Luke. Chapter... Yeah, good. Read from you. Okay, remember Lot's wife. Okay? Your people try to what? Save their own life, you know, try to savage whatever, you know, goods they can, you know, while they are on the run.
Okay.
Now the lesson is this, yeah. Very important lessons. Okay. Very important lessons. You find that God was so gracious towards Lot and his family, is actually practically they were dragged out of the city, isn't that so? You know, like Lot was lingering. Didn't want to go. Right? Now, so, drag. So ask them to what? Run. Run to the mountain. They said, no. Say, Zoar. Okay. Run to Zoar. Fine. Okay? They're rich. But there's a condition. They must not
look back. But the wife fell. Okay? Now, the lesson here is this. Yeah? Today, by the mercy of God, we have been saved. Right? It's not by our own virtues, but by the strength of God, we have been saved from Sodom and Gomorrah. Now we have come to this place, the Church of God. It's like, you know, a safe haven, right? A city of refuge. You understand what I'm saying? Now, because our heart is still very much of the world, we always look back, isn't it? That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, he who look back, yeah, is not worthy of what? His kingdom. Is it not so? They always look back. Now, so even though we have come out from the city, but our heart is still, that's the problem. That's the problem with us today. You understand what I'm saying? Right? We have been saved by God. It's like we have come out from the world, but the world has not come out from our heart. Just like here, they have come out from Sodom, but Sodom has not come out from their hearts. That's the problem. Always think about the world. You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now, just like the people who came out of Egypt. Yeah? They have come out of Egypt, but Egypt has not been driven out from their heart. Every time when there was a problem, what did they say? Oh, go back to Egypt. Is it also? So are we the same? Or are we not the same? We are at times. Right? Now the heart is not really there for God. That's the problem. Okay. The last bit, the confusion in the family, we shall leave it till tomorrow. I don't want to eat into your lunch time. Otherwise, you suffer indigestions. Okay? Okay, I want you to turn to 19 again. Chapter 19, verse 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the city of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the city in which Lot had dwelt. Now, the lesson is this. If you are good, if you are God-fearing, if you obey what the Lord says, sometimes you can rescue your family members, your friends, the members of the church, because of you, of your virtues, because of your righteousness. You understand what I'm saying? Just like Abraham here. On account of Abraham's righteousness, God what? Send Lot out of the overthrow. Okay? That is a blessing. Okay, any question? I'm a bit rushing. So can't finish. Question? Not that we pray.